This is location choice, and this is our second session. We want to get some quick idea from you where you are, so we know the 17 of you here. Okay, I want to get you back kind of in the mind frame we were in. Can you all read this from here? I'll just read it to you real quick. God gives us unique, or at least unusual, skills and talents. Some people are very unusual. Therefore, he designs us so that when we use these skills and talents, they are enjoyable. And Thoreau said...
That's a
quote from Richard Bowles, the first one, and the second one is from Thoreau. Most men and women lead lives of quiet desperation. And we want you to decide not to be one of them. Up here... Find out what you do when no one else is telling you what to do. That's the key. And there are patterns that run through all various segments of your life. Look diligently for them. Remember, the world is already filled with people who are trying to use their time after 5 p.m. to do all the things they really enjoy. And finally, with few exceptions, if any, it hasn't mattered what organization or environment you were in, your talents still have shown. Okay? Any response to that real quick?
Sounds great.
Strange talents.
Right. Are you suggesting then that we should be leading life of noisy desperation?
How many people here have their homework number one? Here? I mean, have their paper in front of them, brought their paper. Do you have that with you?
Oh, yeah.
So I want you to get that out. And those of you who don't have it,
I didn't have my envelope.
How many people don't have a copy of the homework number one? Who want it? Anybody else need a copy?
Yeah, I think two.
Right. You need one too?
That's the American mentality. Once enough, take two.
I want to see where you're at. There's fewer people here who got their homework done than we thought. And so I want to see where you are. We've got two ways we can go tonight. One is for the first, let me go over the general plan and I'll kind of explain it better. Okay, last time. We have session number one, where you begin to identify your 5 to 10 major skills. Your homework number one was identify your 5 to 10 major skills, individual and partnership. Okay? Mm-hmm. Today's session is session number two. Discuss the skills and the homework. Specify a skills exercise. We're going to have an exercise on specifying your skills. Okay? We plan to have a dreaming exercise. Then we're going to discuss homework number two. Okay? That's tonight. We'll be out by 9:30. Okay, an hour and a half. You guys talk too long at the end. Homework number two coming up is dreaming and goal setting. It's a lot less rigorous homework. It's a lot easier than the one you've already started working on. Okay? And then finally, our last session a week from today is when we'll share and reflect on everything you've done. Okay? So where we are tonight is discussing the skills and homework first. All right? And then if we have time, the skills exercise, a dreaming exercise, okay? And you remember our purpose for the whole process. Frame of reference is to deepen our understanding of vocation. And number two, to deepen my or our understanding of my process of making occupational choices in order to move toward a decision on where I want to go from here. That's our frame of reference. Specifically for these three sessions and two homework assignments, number one purpose is to identify 5 to 10 core skills. That was your first homework assignment, okay? Number two is to write and share a dream incorporating vocation and occupation. And number three is write and share 1 to 4 goals you want to accomplish within the next 1 to 5 years. Those last two purposes are met by your second homework assignment, plus our discussions tonight and next Monday, okay? So in other words, at the end of the session a week from today, we want to have accomplished all that in terms of if we can meet our purpose. If we don't get all that way because you know, it's too much to do in that period of time, fine, but at least that's the direction we're heading, okay? Are you all on board with that? That meet your needs? All right. What we're trying to decide to do right now for tonight is whether you want to discuss the skills homework assignment in more detail so that those of you who haven't got into it very far can more fully understand what's involved. That's one option, to discuss that in more detail. We will discuss it a little bit anyway, but the one option is to discuss it a lot, all right? Your other option is we've got an exercise that does somewhat the same thing, but it's kind of quick. It really doesn't get into the homework very much. It's just kind of a quick little exercise we'll do as a group anyway, this specify skills exercise. So I guess what I'm asking you is, do you want to go into the homework assignment number one in some detail, particularly for those of you who have some questions about it and want to understand how to do it better? Do you want to go into more detail, a lot of detail, I should say, on the homework assignment number one?
I think people already have a pretty good idea about what's going on. It's just that they haven't gone through the busy work of getting it done.
True. Is it necessary to have this done to move on to the other steps?
No. It's really not. Although, suppose we do this. Suppose we go over the homework kind of briefly, kind of see where you are. Mm-hmm. Okay? Flesh out any details and run into any roadblocks you might run into, okay? And then we'll go right on into the other exercises. How's that sound?
Good.
You willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at your homework number one. First page. You all got that in front of you? Anybody that doesn't, raise your hand. Okay. Task one, to develop an achievement list. All right. I want to say right off from the beginning, we probably should have used the word experience, because achievement sounds a lot like, you know, a great achievement the world is going to see as a great achievement. That's not what we're after. Right? We're after an achievement that's important to you, and it may be to the world a very silly little meaningless thing. But if it's important to you, where you felt alive and fulfilled and your best talents were coming out and your best skills were coming out, it doesn't matter what the world thinks, that is a great achievement for you. Okay? We're looking for those in your life. That's the whole point of this. So in a sense, I kind of wish we'd used the word experience if anybody gets hung up on achievement, meaning something you'd put as a plaque on your wall. It's not that kind of achievement we're talking about. Is that clear?
Could you give some examples?
Yes, I sure can. Let me read you one of my achievements, and then maybe... Okay, maybe Tom can mention one of his. And I'm using this as an example because it is extremely important to me, although to the world it was absolutely nothing. When I was 7 years old, I talked my dad into letting a bunch of us set up a big tent in the backyard, and we had neighborhood movies. My father agreed to rent two films from a store downtown. They cost 50 cents each to rent them. I talked some neighbor kids into helping with the ushering and setting up the tent and helping set up the show in the tent. A kid named Tibby Plugoff was given the popcorn concession. We set prices of 3 cents for admission to the show and prices of 2 cents for a bag of popcorn. I put advertising sheets, all handwritten, on several nearby telephone poles. We had a full house that night of the movie. But our pricing policy wasn't very realistic. We took in 50 cents. We paid Tibby 5 cents for helping with the popcorn. That left my father with only 45 cents for the movie rental cost, which was a dollar. Since Dad financed us, he lost 55 cents on the deal. We got the popcorn donated, right? That experience to me, and I just realized it probably 6 or 7 months ago, I was thinking about this, remembering my childhood. I was doing the same crazy things at age 7 that I'm doing now. The same thing. It might be the prices are different, maybe the mode of operations are different, but I was doing the same things. And I'll tell you what kinds of skills I saw on that. I can find my sheet here.
Yeah. Expenses are still running twice as much as income.
Yeah, expenses are still running twice income. It seems like
you're right.
Okay, what I got in that, if you'll turn to your skills chart, which is the last page. Okay, the top section is what I did with data. Okay, and if you look back on your back two pages, this might be just as well to go, rather than for you to be in the skills chart, back up two pages and be on the skills definition. Okay, first section's on data, and there's 7 skills. What I came up with is number two, coordinate, determining time, place, and sequence of operations. Analysis of data and executing determinations. I did that, putting that little movie together. Number three, written presentation. I put signs on the telephone poles. Right? I know it sounds silly, but the same... It hasn't mattered what organization or environment we're in, your talents have shown. Okay? That's the key. On the next section on people, number two, I negotiated, exchanging ideas, information, and opinion with others. You bet, I had to negotiate with Tibby quite at length to get him to agree to take only 5 cents for a whole night's work. Number three, instruct. I had to teach people how to run the projector and how to be ushers and how to set up the chairs. Supervise. Number four, determining or interpreting work procedures for a group of workers, assigning specific duties to them, maintaining harmonious relationship among workers, and promoting efficiency, which I tell you is quite a task for working with a bunch of 6 and 7 year olds, particularly when you're only 6 or 7. Number five, program development. Plan alone activities of educational or promotional nature. I was a promoter at age 7, I kid you not. Number six was organized, and I circled this check mark as being the number one skill involved in this particular achievement of the backyard movie. And that's plan for orderly arrangement of persons for some function, institutional endeavor, program, bring a new group into existence for a purpose. Organize. Okay, speaking, yes, I had to introduce the movie, that's number seven, formal oral presentation. And persuade, there was a great deal of persuasion involved. Talking my dad into accepting half the price of his films from us as a payment and getting him to not penalize us for losing so much money for him. Took a bit of persuasive ability on my part. As far as things are concerned, I didn't check any for this particular one, although I guess we had to build number three, the tent. You know, the funny thing to explain why I picked an exercise of age 7, or an experience of age 7, achievement, should say at age 7. My number one achievement was something I did at age 27, and it was almost identical. We had a movie premiere, and I worked with a whole bunch of high school kids who had, under our direction at our youth center, made, filmed, and directed their own movie, and we had a Hollywood-style premiere, and we got donated limousines, and all the television stations in town were there, and we were on the news, and we had radio disc jockeys, and we had kids coming up in tuxedos, donated tuxedos, and they all got out with the livery doorman opening the door for them, and cheering crowds, and applause. And
Hollywood movie.
It couldn't have been Chelan.
No, this is in Spokane. Okay. And several other achievements which were not around movies were of the organizational kind of thing, and my skills that I came up with were primarily around people, and the number one was organize, and number two was negotiate, and number three was supervise. So you can kind of see that it showed up. I didn't anticipate this happening ahead of time. When I wrote down my list of achievements, I didn't have 7 or 8 or 9, I had 42 of them. And they were things that had happened all different times in my life. And what I did then was, well, I figured out a little rating system to kind of, what I did, I'll explain it real quickly. Some of this, maybe it helped to you, maybe it won't. What I did is I put a check mark, first of all, by all the times for me where I felt really alive, where I felt most myself. All the ones that sort of had that image to me, I checked them off, okay? Then I put another mark for all the activities that were just pure enjoyment for me, just pure enjoyment. Then I put another mark for activities that I felt I really had done well at, where I had a satisfaction of accomplishment. And I noticed some of those getting all three marks. Then I did another mark for experiences that were natural to me, easy as falling off a log. It was just like other people thought I was working, but it was just duck soup, as they say to me. I mean, it's just really simple. I put that kind of mark there. When I got all that done, those marks were all clustered around 7 experiences. And so I just put those down as a list of 7, then put them in order. And you'd be amazed. I didn't design them that way, but most every one of them had an awful lot of organization, program development, supervision, negotiating, That's where my skills lie, largely, okay? At least as I see it now. There's no right or wrong in any of this, but that was helpful to me. It was a lot of help to me in terms of understanding more clearly. Now I see more. I finished this on the boat coming up here today, as a matter of fact, and I never have seen quite so clearly as I do today how of all that mishmash of experience in my past, the ones that stand out the most are remarkably similar. I went, aha, if you can, in a sense, let's see if I can answer that, okay? Nadine, I think you had kind of the same question. If you can see clearly through your life where there's been a general pattern, where your talents show all the way through your life, I think that's acceptable to sort of see that. You've sort of taken a quantum leap. You've understood the broad spectrum pretty clearly. You know that, like in Nadine's case, she can understand art running all through the high times in her life, okay? That's acceptable. But for each of us to some degree, and for some of us a lot, we have to focus on moments, okay? And so what was helpful to me, since I couldn't see broadly that organizational ability and negotiating and supervising are talents that run all through my life, since I couldn't see that, I had to focus on moments of my life, okay? And what I did is I separated out, like, high school. I think all the times in high school, I mean, high school was, a, you know, what, 10, you know, 10,000 hours or whatever, you know. But just moments flashed into my mind as being that those times when I was really alive. And I just put those moments down. And I focused on college and I focused on summer jobs, like that. And those moments are what helped me focus down. All right? Any more questions on that? Yeah. Can you define achievements the way we've kind of defined them?
Experience.
Which is experience. Just think of them as experiences. Can you kind of mentally scratch out the word achievements everywhere it's in any of your homework there and translate it as experience? Will that help you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Experience.
It's a high experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you feel most like yourself, your talents are used well, and you enjoy using them. Okay. Do we want another example of experience? Tom, do you want to share yours? Okay. Anybody else have any that they want to share real quickly?
Yeah, I may have them, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I was an engineer. And before that, I was a chief engineman in the Navy. And I found that I think that my talent lies in organizing people to do things with material things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to analyze material things, machinery, and take the data and translate it in some visible form, which is easy for people to do. And those moments, too, like you say, moments is too. Some of them required a great deal of work. They did. I had to do a great deal of research and work, put things together. But the one that does stand out in my mind when you was talking about it, I wrote it down, Hale's list here. It was a 707-320 control system test on the Boeing airplane. And so I went back to some data and I took the some past performances he'd done. I analyzed how long it would take to do it. I gave him the information to my lead man, and we came out within one shift to exactly what I said it'd be. And then I presented booklets to each one of the people to do all various functions. Maybe somebody's going to do this, and another guy be doing this, somebody back there, and somebody up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave that oral presentation to them too at the same time.
Could you see talents there, Chuck, that have been important talents to you and major skills in your life many times?
Yeah,
in your
life? They follow that same sort of pattern.
Okay. That's
well, there have been times when you got to get down and do the nitty gritty and get your hands dirty and do
right.
It too, you know, but that's all right.
Okay, this is exactly the kind of thing we're looking for, okay, where your talents have shown through regardless of where you are. How many people, show me your hands, feel pretty confident now about being able to finish out homework number one? Okay. Are there any that haven't raised their hand? Are there any particular questions you have? Those of you who have not raised your hand? Okay. What we're going to do now is we've discussed the homework thing, okay? We've got to specify your skills exercise, and it's kind of the same thing, except it's quicker, and it might be some immediate help in terms of getting your finger on some things that are important to you right now. All right?
Sam, before we go on to that, yeah. can we ask about how well the pairing has been working? Do you feel comfortable with that?
I haven't utilized it at all.
Is there, do you feel like you will, or do you, would you rather do something different?
Well, I don't know. I haven't done a lot of this. I wound up in 47 achievement, did pretty much what Stan did, except using the numbers from the five categories here, and I wound up with 14 major ones, so I got to get nitpicky.
We had kind of envisioned that you might be working with your partner from time to time, as you come to a certain sort of stopping place or a hang-up or something. Clear out what you've already done with them, and then go on, don't spend like
all day. Yeah, but all I was thinking about and defining what I've done in my past, I don't think my partner can have that much to do with it, you know. Okay. They be bored if they won't be going elaborate.
What I was trying to say was you don't have to do the whole exercise, spend 3 hours writing, and then spend 3 hours with your partner all in one sitting. You can kind of break it up and you know, interact if you want. Feel free to.
Well, about the most I've done is set up meeting times at which we never met.
Yeah, Craig.
Who's your partner, me?
Craig and Emma.
I think the people that, done their homework, I feel kind of bad because my partner did her homework and I didn't. And we talked a little bit, but we didn't really get into anything.
Okay.
But I felt bad. I mean, maybe she should have been with somebody who had time to do things with her. And
you should have been with the skate.
Yeah.
No, let me respond to this. At this point of time, I would like to work with Craig, but where I'm going to be gone for the next week, 10 days or so, I think if I can get some help from one of the three leaders in what I've done, we'll put Craig with somebody else because it's not fair to him. And where we have worked.
Well, you guys ought to get along.
No, it just occurred to me.
Martha, on that, can we suggest that you and Craig decide, what you want to do in terms of, all we're trying to do is help people find somebody they can discuss this with because we think that's of value. And your particular suggestion is something we wanted to bring up anyway. The three of us want to make ourselves very available to anybody on a one-to-one basis. That's
well, I'm just saying, who else might be available for Craig to care of that?
All fine.
Okay.
Karen? Did you have something else? Oh, okay. Does this homework feel like it's going to do you some good? I want to get some sense from you. I want to make sure we're not sending you off in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
All right, you're up for doing it.
We're real happy, Stan.
Thank you. You're a lot
of
help.
Some of you may have a hard time putting the stuff down on paper. I know there's some people who would rather not do the writing or don't like to do the writing. It surely is fine just to get together with your partner and talk this stuff out. You don't have to necessarily. The partner is there for you to share in whatever way you wish, all right? And you don't need to feel you have to have stuff all written out and share, Randy said all the boring details. I mean, you set up a time with your partner to discuss, run through whatever you wish to run through. And if you've written nothing, fine. It still can be a productive time together. The purpose for trying to put some stuff down on paper, I think, is for most people, you find when you do some writing, it's a helpful discipline. You focus some of your ideas rather than just ramble on and on and on. And in the stuff we went through last time about listening, too, hopefully your partner will listen to you in a way and clarify some of the things you're saying, feed it back to you in a way that says, yeah, I guess that is what I've been saying. I've been very contradictory, or I've been very consistent in some of the things I've been saying. So you don't have to share all the stuff you've written. You may not want to share any of it, but you can share whatever you wish with that partner and get some feedback.
I hope this comes out sounding right, but feel free to use your partner. That's why the fact that you're here sort of implies that you're not only willing to, not only that you have these questions yourself, but you are willing to give time to someone else. And so just as you are giving time to someone else, you can feel free to expect time from them. And don't, as trivial as it may seem sometimes, it may be very, very helpful to have somebody that's going to listen to you, and listen to you for maybe 3 hours straight. Or also it can help you in listening to someone else for 3 hours straight sometimes. So feel free to use the... It's a mutual, it's a reciprocal benefit.
Martha?
Yeah, something I stumbled across in trying to write up one, under the description, very beginning, task one, things you have done well. Okay, I have done it well. Things that were satisfying and fulfilling, sort of. Brought out the best in me, undoubtedly. Natural, not particularly. But in the end result, I started writing this and then realized, hey, I don't really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered how many others
I have the same experience.
Part of it didn't. What do I do with it? Even?
I'll respond how I do. I have been spending my time in the last 2-3 years spending a lot of time doing something that seemed like that's the way I'm going to go. I'm a salesman. And that did not come up as something I enjoy. And I've been spending a lot of time and energy on that. And that's
a quiet desperation.
Yeah, to some extent, that part of me had some elements of quiet desperation in it. And what I respond to is that definitely is not one of my great achievements or experiences now as we've defined it. It is not a major or great experience in my life. I'm definitely going to throw it out. What I did at age 7 with that movie theater is much more than whatever I happen to be earning money at right now that I do not enjoy.
May I make a comment, Ken? I think in the last few years, anyhow, it's been changing my attitude. It's been a big percentage of the things that I'm doing and I enjoy doing. I enjoy doing a lot more things than I ever thought I would. I was a janitor for a while. I was a good janitor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never did that before, but I mean, it's just easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's my attitude. My change in me is the most important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any more quick comments? Okay. We're going to do a specify skills exercise, and Tom's going to introduce it in a minute. But first, we want you to pair up with your partners. So if your partner is here, would you sit by them? If not, if either your partner's not here or you don't yet have a partner, wander over to this side of the room and we'll pair you up that way. Okay?
Of the total handout, just for purposes of ease of putting this together, the two pages are the total homework assignment. What we'd like to do is part of the first task there, and specifically letter B, and I think it will be hopefully equally valuable for both those of you who have done the homework assignment as well as those of you who have not yet gotten at it. Take a look at the kinds of things or job components, as we call them here, that you wouldn't want to be without. As you think about the next number of years in your life and some of the skills or pieces, abilities, etc., that you would really want to make sure, regardless of what job you did, these are skills you would want to have. And so if you would go through this list of 21 components with your pencil or pen and underline. Now, the quickest way probably is to circle the number. We would rather have you take number one, and of the 5 or 6 things there, I mean, if they all apply, underline them all. But if design, shape things, if those are the 2 of the 5 that apply, just underline the ones that apply. And then after you've gone through the whole list, then come back and try to pick out maybe 10 or so most important. We'll give you like about 10 minutes to do this. Yeah, Twig?
I noticed that these components must be in any job you have. Is how close, like, would like to have, is that close to must, or is that...
Is pretty strong.
Put a 1 by the ones that must and put a 2 by the ones that you would like to have. Do a prioritizing if you want. Or double check the ones that are more important to you to have.
Exercise a little discipline now and do 2 5-minute segments. In your pair, decide who's going to talk first and who's going to listen first. And we'll do that for 5 minutes. And then we'll flip it around. I'll whistle or something, give you a signal to switch. But let's try to do some careful listening. And so whoever's going to listen first, you know, make the decision between, and then for 5 minutes, just the one person do the talking. That doesn't mean the listener doesn't say anything, you understand, but the focus is on the one person who's doing the sharing, and then we'll flip the coin and reverse it. 5 minutes for each, okay? That we may have set you up for frustration here by giving you so little time, both to work by yourself and to share. The intent was not to exhaust the exercise, but to open it up for you, and hopefully it's done that. It is part of your homework for this next week, and we would be very encouraging of you to spend more time with it, both individually and with your pair. Any quick reactions or comments or ahas or anything that any of you want to feed in? Tom? Then Sonia?
Something like the kind of stuff that you already knew, you know, that you're bringing out, that you've kind of gone over before, but you've never looked at it all laid out, you know, kind of in front of you, so you can say, I like this and this and this, and I don't like this so much. And you can get kind of a the same amount of light on everything, so you're not, you don't have a real biased opinion on what you're looking at. So you don't lean one way just because it's kind of the right time to feel that way.
It's not new information, it's confirming, and it also seems to be in a total perspective?
Well, like everything is in the same perspective.
Okay.
I mean, you're looking at everything from the same point. Right.
You mean, you like the way it's put down here and categorized?
Well, I like the way it forces you to put things down and categorize it.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay. Sonia, then Daniel.
Okay. I felt that many of these overlap. It was hard to make priority for listening in order.
That was frustrating because of the overlap?
A little bit, yeah.
I liked it. I liked the overlap.
That's the same thing we found in our group.
Excuse me, we're going in. Daniel's next, and then you can next. We'll try to keep. If you want to say something, raise your hand.
I found that I went into this. But then I kind of a dream in the back of my mind and deciding what skills I would need to fulfill that. But I always wonder to myself whether there aren't other dreams that I'm not dreaming.
Yeah.
And how do I find that out?
Next exercise.
Now, let me respond to that real quickly. I once had that trouble when I took a vocational preference test, which was the big thing when I was in 10th grade. And at that time, I wanted to be a forest ranger. And I was out cooking and camping and hiking and all these kinds of things. And by God, that preference test showed I was going to end up as a woodsman. That's all there was to it. Because I was so biased off at that dream. Okay? So if you're in that kind of spot, this kind of exercise you just did may not be as helpful to you because you'll bias it with that present dream. Okay? And in that case, the exercise that is all of homework one would have a lot more value to you. Because that's looking back at the past, at the high peak points of your life throughout a lot of dreams, okay? Picking out the 7 greatest times in your life and then looking for common traits. That gets rid of a lot of the biases, okay? Does that help you?
Yeah, except that, well, in specifics, this dream involves some kind of engineering, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never tried teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea, and I'm looking back, I don't see any times that I use skills that could be seen as teaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I know whether those skills are there or not?
Okay, in other words, your dream is towards a possible future of teaching engineering. Is that what you're saying?
No, my dream is towards the future of engineering.
All right.
But as a completely unrelated field, to take for example teaching,
mm-hmm.
that I've never tried.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know whether I have skills in or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think the key here is to not put narrow boxes on jobs, okay, or occupations. If you try to narrow them down, we're not going to do very good with these kinds of exercises. But if you think in broad terms of skills and talents and gifts of God, okay, you might think at times in your life where there has been a teaching kind of skill exhibited by you, not because that was your job or a vocation, but that kind of process of communicating effectively to another person and helping encourage them with your enthusiasm for a subject to understand something better, that kind of activity occurred in your life. If it was a high point time for you, then teaching is a skill that is a major skill for you. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, no.
Well, I wanted to say that in this group of four here, we all had the same problem. We had an awful time trying to prioritize these things. We went down a circle, a lot of things. There were, most of them turned out to be quite similar. I mean, lead initiative, follow through, except one exception. One of our group here took number 1, number 10, and number 20 as his priorities. But he also underlined all the rest of those things he had to do to get to accomplish his priorities, number 1, you know. And the same way over here, the teacher, and she does the same thing. As I, an engineer, and too. We do all the same thing. Mm-hmm. We have to... If we get through, we have to sell this to the people persuade them. Get them caught.
In other words, you're saying you're all in agreement over there.
Huh?
You're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Different fields, but similar skills.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you got the right answers over there. The rest of us.
We'll have a little session afterwards for all the rest of us who want to get the right answers.
Yeah.
Anything else? Kind of quick comments to the process or anything?
Related to what Daniel said, there is a difference between what you really want to have in your job and what you ideally would like yourself to be. And if you have some kind of a dream or a self-image, like I saw help people, and I thought, oh yeah, of course I want to help people. I thought, golly, do I ever really? And am I really good at that? And I started thinking back to the skills thing and realized that sometimes there's a difference between what you're good at and what you would like to be.
Yeah.
And what you see as an idea.
I had
to be kind, right?
It's hard not to underline that one, isn't it?
This is very...
The categories sit there in front of you, and feel free to make that distinction. Feel free to say, okay, a circle means this is something that I have. A box means this is something that I'd like to work on, I'd like to develop. But keep that in mind when you look back at the exercise.
Interpreting your skills that you have, don't get too hung up on shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
Get very hung up on I ams.
Looking at the very pleased, but you underline the different categories. For example, I underlined lead, initiate, seize opportunities, and all this. You know, it sounds really... yay, really good, and all that stuff. But, I'm not really sure if that's what's for you. Is it okay to go ahead and shoot for stuff like that? Is that what was happening right here? Or is this past experience that you're supposed to be ready to?
What we're after, if I respond to that a bit, what we're after is what's natural to you. Does lead, initiate, take charge come naturally out of you? And you feel good about it, you use it well and enjoy it. If the answer to that is yes, then those are skills that go through your life, okay?
But they also might be things that you value even though they may not come naturally. I mean, if you value leading even though you may not do that very naturally, I mean, you may feel it's a skill you want to really work on. But there's a desire, there's kind of an inner motivation as opposed to that's what Dad has drilled into my head since day one, you're a leader, you know. I mean, if it's something that's internally motivated as opposed to externally motivated. The am word that Stan talked last week, we talked about vocation as a self-image and that being just as important as occupation, which is a social image. So, you know, kind of the inner motivation of what we're getting at is very important because that's going to transcend any particular job that you're doing for a period of time in your life. Okay, thank you for that feedback or the reactions to that and do some more with it.
Yeah, why don't we take 15 seconds here and stand up and stretch, take some deep breaths. I'll just discuss homework and we're going to take 10 minutes to do that. We're going to flip this thing around here. We're going to let the streaming exercise be later. Look at your homework. What I want to do is just go over it real quick. All right? You've done a good part of it already. Okay, we're going to get you started on another fourth of it, so you'll have the homework almost half done by tonight. What I want to get across is mainly this. Do your homework one, your number one homework assignment, if you haven't finished it yet, first. That is, it takes some energy. It's incredibly rewarding. Do that first. And don't get hung up with this homework too. I know, like Gary was saying, those of us who have been teachers know sometimes when some students are in a group and they haven't done their homework and you bring them another bunch of homework, they go, oh my God. You know, we don't want to get into that at all. Do your homework one. When you get to it, do homework two, all right? Some people may not get into homework two till they get back after leaving Holden. I think it's a value to get into it. We want you to get into it, but do your homework one with your partners first, okay? Homework two is much easier. Top is a general explanation. Task one has A and B parts. You've already done B. We suggest, like Tom says, you do some more on it. Get together with your partners and flesh that out a little bit on your job components, okay? Task A, I want to say something about, and I'll speak, I want to sell this idea to people, and here's briefly what it is. We've got 10 copies of something called your functional transferable skills. All this is, do you remember homework one, we had a skills chart on the back? All right, that's what you filled out, checked off. All this is the same thing, except more detail. So, for example, I got the word organize, negotiate, and supervise as primary skills for me, right? In here, the words will be much more specific, and I can underline specific kinds of negotiations and specific kinds of organizing, and get in words like motivate, inspire, communicate effectively. There's a lot of words like that that I can underline as being parts of that experience. In other words, it's the same chart except more detailed. All right? We've got 10 copies of this. What I want you to do, and task A explains totally, task one, part A, explains totally how to use this chart. They're going to be laying in the dining hall on the table near the door by the bell, all right? They'll be laying there. We'll put them in a box. If you want to use one, I really want to encourage you to do this because it's very helpful to get a more specific idea of where your skills lie. I think, was it Sonia said that the skills overlapped? Who was that?
Yeah.
Okay. This will help a lot in that process because there's so many words in here, you get a more refined idea of where your precise skills are. Okay? If that sounds like that might be of help to you, we've got 10 copies in there. They'll be there all week. Pick one up. Okay? So that is task one, part A, if you want to do that. Okay? If that'll be helpful. Okay. Moving on to task two, who am I? Now, I want to put a little note there. Put a star by it on the left side of that. What that little star means, to jog your memory, this task two is something, if you're going to have to skip a task, skip this one. Alright? We think it's a helpful exercise, but if you've got to decide what to do and you haven't got enough time, skip task two. Alright? Okay, task three is dreams. Gary's going to introduce that to you in a matter of 5 minutes. Okay, and when you get into that 5 minute time, you'll have completed part of that task. And the last part is task four, and that's goals. And I want to go over that real briefly with you. Okay, now's the time to think in more specific terms about what you want to do in the next 1 to 5 years. Okay, think about the steps necessary to use and enjoy your skills. Turn your dreams into reality. This is our third purpose here. To write and share 1 to 4 goals you want to accomplish within the next 1 to 5 years. All right? We want you then to choose A or B or C. Choose one or more. Okay? Okay? A is write a list of the things you want to do before you die. B is where do I want to be at the end of 5 years, 1 to 5 years, in terms of knowledge, feelings, or experience. All right? Down to C, describe where you want to be in 1 to 5 years in terms of where, what people around you, what special knowledge, what working environment. Okay. Pick one of those three and flesh out some goals. 1 to 4 goals within the next 1 to 5 years. We're suggesting that that task come last because it's best done when you have a clear idea of your skills and you've done some dreaming like we're going to start here in a few minutes. Okay? And then down below C there it says, when you've finished thinking over your dreams and goals, share your thoughts with your partner. Ask him or her for commonalities in your responses to the tasks above. All right? All of these are helpful with your partner. The bottom there is four suggestions we have for working on all this dreams and goals things, and you can glance over those. We talked about that last time, and I wish I hadn't hedged the bets. I wish I'd said more what Karen said, because she really said it. Let's forget what you think you know about realism in the job market, because that hangs so many of us up so much that we end up with lives of quiet desperation. Let's let go what we think we know about the job market. Let's concentrate on who I am, what skills I have used well and enjoyed throughout my life, because they're so much a part of me, they're obviously a God-given gift. Let's concentrate on that, focus on that, and then let's shoot for that goal that comes as a result of that thinking. If you've got to stop short, because it's absolutely impossible, fine. But most likely you'll find that you can reach that goal if you want to, and it's coming out of you, naturally enough. Okay? Most of what we know about the job market is wrong. And number two, the world is changing so fast, what we think we know isn't going to be what the case is in a few years. Okay? So let's concentrate on all these skills, talents, and dreams, and goals that we have, and let's shoot off in that direction. Let's go for the stars.
Would you also say that it might be more fulfilling to shoot for the stars and miss than to shoot for something you know you can hit?
Right.
And then
set your sights too low.
Mm-hmm. Most of us set our sights too low. 80% of us are underemployed. Most of us lead lives of quiet desperation. There's no reason for that.
One of the reasons is setting sights too low.
Yes. That probably is the primary reason.
There's times to be realistic and there's times to be really a real dreamer. And this, one of the functions of now is to free yourself to start with. Later on, there's plenty of time to be realistic. But try to be free.
You can always drop back, you know. After you look way out, you can always drop back to something you've looked over. It would be hard to go out to something you hadn't looked at before.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't want to set yourself up for constant frustration either. I think that's, you know, is that part of what you're saying, Monty?
Yeah, partly.
You know, most people in their 20s, in whatever chosen vocation or occupation, are going to be president. You know, they've got that big dream and they work like crazy for 10, 15 years to try to achieve that. And then you hit a point at which you realize that isn't going to happen. Not only won't you be president of the United States, you probably won't be president of your company and aren't interested in that anymore. But I think the dream and that part of the task is very critical, you know, at whatever stage we are in our lives to have, you know, to really work and discipline ourselves at doing some dreaming. Because we don't do that very much, I don't think.
Part of the response to that is down at the bottom of your second page, it says additional suggestions. Look at number one just for a minute. This is the way to answer part of Martha's concern about being realistic. Avoid being too restrictive in your definition of your vocation. There are many vocations that can benefit from your combination of skills. And a very helpful resource is called the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, available at your library. It lists and describes 39,000 different vocations.
Wow!
If you think you're being unrealistic, you're narrowing yourself too much. Try to think in terms of the skills and the goals in terms of utilizing your skills in broader frames of vocation, okay? You might not become, you know, a public health nurse, but you might become something using the same kind of skills, the same kind of God-given talents, without the same job title.
Don't like one of the 39,000? You can make up your own.
Right.
How do you think it got to be 39,000?
Yeah, right.
39,001. Real quickly. Does the homework number one seem like something you can get done before our next session by Monday?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Can a lot of you get pretty well into homework number two by Monday, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the
time I won't put it off until the last day. So I can
promises.
I think it's important to realize that not all of us can be intellectual giants. I happen to know the mechanic is an Alfa Romeo mechanic, and he's a great one. And he really knows it, and he loves doing it and what he stuff. And I admire him for that. He taught me lots of things.
Right.
So I think that this is important. Yeah. So.
Okay, we got a dream?
Ready to dream? This to me is sort of the most fun exercise, and that's why we kind of save it for last. Something to do at the end of the evening when you don't have anything else to do. It's introduced, now is the time to let your imagination run freely. And what we're going to do is just take 5 minutes to let your imagination run freely. Just, this is the ultimate in the response to Martha, to say, just think of the craziest thing you want to think of, the thing that would just really be neat for you. The thing that, well, as they put it here, what you would really want to do if there were no other constraints. Imagine using who you are and all the things you've seen so far and just fantasize about it. And just try to do that for 5 minutes. And then if you want to stay after the 5 minutes with your partner and discuss what you've done, like 5 minutes one and 5 minutes the other, do that. We'll structure that a little bit. If you want to leave, if you just can't concentrate for 5 or 10 more minutes, feel free to leave too. This is just to kind of introduce you to this exercise again. It's something we'd like you to fill out, flesh out when you have more time. One thing I'd like to say about when you get with your partner to do it, before I do your dream, when you get with your partner and you tell your partner about your dream, have your partner take notes on what you've said. And vice versa. When he's telling you about his dream, her dream, take notes. For their sake. It's not to help you listen better, it's to help you be able to give them to them so they'll be able to recall their dream. That way they don't have to write down. They can just sort of do a stream of conscience thing, can just say, hey, this sounded neat, and I like this aspect about it, and I want to do this. And you just kind of keep notes for them. Okay? Got the idea? Oh yeah, there's three different things you can fantasize. Just read through the exercise. Pick whatever one turns you on the most.